Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, November 15th, 2012. Well, before we get into tonight's program, today on Murphy in the Morning, Faith FM launched its Share the Faith fundraiser. This annual event gives you, our listener, a tangible way to show your support for the station and the programs it provides. This year, Faith FM is hoping to raise $60,000 so it can continue to give you the best in quality programming that offers faith, hope, and inspiration. Well, you can call our campaign lines, 519-741-9430, or toll-free at 1-877-741-9430 during our regular business hours from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday. Or you can drop donations, cash, check, debit, or Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. You can drop them off at the Faith FM offices at 659 King Street East during those same business hours. That was Breathing In, Breathing Out from Winnipeg singer-songwriter Jody King's Little Smile CD, which was inspired, she says in the liner notes, when her brother decided to sell his motorcycle to buy a ring for his girlfriend. Quote, "We all sacrifice for our dreams, writes King. Well, tonight's guest knows what it is to sacrifice for a dream. N.J. Lindquist set aside her writing career to help found the Word Guild, an associate of writers, authors, and editors who are Christian. But after 11 years at the Word Guild's helm, NJ is stepping down away from active involvement and picking up her writing where she left off. She's on the phone with us tonight to talk about her work as an author with the Word Guild and her recent change in direction. Good evening, NJ.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. Now let's give our listeners and some of them who may not have heard your story before a little bit of background on you. When and where did you actually start writing?
I started writing in my head when I was probably three. I was always making up stories. I didn't know how to write them down. I officially started my first book when I was 12, but that was back in the days where you actually wrote it by hand, and I had no typewriters or anything. So after a little while, I decided it was way too much work. But I did have a letter to the editor of our local paper published when I was 12, so I guess that's sort of my official beginning.
Well, looking back on it, who have been the people that have influenced you as a writer, both other writers or people that have just come alongside you and said, you have this gift and this talent, please use it?
Well, that's an interesting question. My parents were always supportive. I had a teacher in grade 6. We had to write something. It was for health, and it was about why we needed vegetables. And I had read Alice in Wonderland, and I ended up writing a little story about Alice falling asleep at the dinner table because she didn't want to eat her vegetables. And then in her dream, her vegetables came to life and spoke to her and told her why she should eat them. And my teacher loved that and had me read it at Parents' Day. So that was kind of the first time someone other than my parents noticed me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't actually say there were a whole lot more. Most of my teachers really either kept telling me to write the essay, not try to be creative. But when I was actually in university, I took English, and I did have a professor who helped me learn how to write essays, which has been really, really useful to just to organize my thoughts in that. I got I think a 60 on my first one and a 95 on my last one for him, and won the first year medal, so that helped. just sporadic people, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, who have been some of the authors that you've read that have influenced you?
Yeah, that's where my real influence is. I just took to books like A Duck to Water, and books like Little Women, Louisa May Alcott, later on C.S. Lewis. I absolutely adored the Trixie Belden series, particularly the first 8 books.
I remember reading those.
I love those books. They changed. One author wrote the first 6, I think it was, and then they changed to a different author, and the rest were never as good. But I just went into mysteries, Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, Georgette Heyer.
Well, and I was going to ask that, because one of the genres that you write in and that you predominantly write in is mystery, and who some of those influences have been. And you just mentioned you had, you know, the author that did Trixie Belden, Agatha Christie, and that. Is there any one of the mystery writers that are out there that you've read that has sort of become a favorite and a go-to, one that you keep going back to and you keep rereading?
Oh, yeah. all the Golden Age writers. Christie, Marsh, I'm just rereading a whole bunch. I just found 8 Niall Marsh books that I didn't own in a little library in Goderich, a little used bookstore in Goderich, and I'm just going through them. I read all kinds of mysteries in all genres, but I always go back to the Georgette Heyer is another one, Dorothy Sayers, what's known as the Golden Age writers, the puzzle kind of writing is my favorite.
What attracts you about that in comparison to people like P.D. James or Ian Rankin and some of the more contemporary writers?
James, and I've read some of Ian Rankin's. And Ruth Rendell's another contemporary, Peter Robinson. One of my favorite writers is actually a Toronto guy named Rick Blechta. I like the puzzle style rather than the here's a body, let's figure out who it is first. I like to meet the people and then have the murder. And it becomes more like me trying to see if I can figure out who it is before the author tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some contemporary writers like me who are writing in that, but that's my preferred style.
Well, looking at someone like Christie, though, she also wrote, and she had Poirot, she had Miss Marple, the different detectives in that. Do you have any a favorite Agatha Christie detective that you work with?
You mean which do I like?
Which
of
do you
Agatha's
like? Yeah, sorry. What is that? Which do you like of hers?
The Miss Marple or Hercule?
Yeah.
They're just different. I like both of them. I just go back and reread them all. I'm not a huge Tommy and Tuppence fan. Those are the ones I least like of hers.
Mm-hmm.
I even like some of her standalone, which are actually more thrillers than the puzzle mystery. I don't know. I just love them all.
Yeah. Well, looking at that and looking at where you've been, I want to talk about where you were and what's been happening with the Word Guild. But we do that before we're going to take a quick break and then continue our conversation with author N.J. Lindquist and her work with the Word Guild. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Happy from the Little Smile CD by Jody King. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with author N.J. Lindquist. N.J., about a decade ago, you and Wendy Nellis were instrumental in founding the Word Guild. Let's give our listeners, again, a little bit of history on that. What led up to getting the Word Guild started up?
What led to starting it? Well, basically, the conference God Uses, Inc., which had been put on by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada since 1984, was still going but was not really a priority. And I think there were 85 people in total at the conference in 1991. And we were told at that time that this was the last conference, that the EFC could not continue it. And I and you, Robert, and Wendy, and a few other people who were there went, oh no, we need it. It's our only way of getting together with other writers who are Christian. And somehow out of that, I just felt God saying, you have to take it over. And to make a very long story short, I took it over. And Wendy Nellis and I ended up co-founding, not just keeping the conference going, but we ended up with an organization, because I kept thinking that the computer age had started. We had email. Why couldn't we do something year-round? Why did we just have to have that little conference once a year? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that we could do this. And so the Word Guild was created basically as the foundation, and the conference became like our little flagship part of it. But the Word Guild itself became the, or ended up becoming the main part.
Well, what kind of influence then has the Word Guild had over that decade?
Well, I'm a little subjective on it, but I think that it has made a huge difference to Canadian writers who have a Christian faith perspective, in that it has given a number of people a place to call home. A lot of us, and I certainly count myself in there, were sort of wandering around trying to write. I remember living in Regina and not knowing a single other writer, and I didn't necessarily want to go to just any writer's group, because what I was writing at that time was from a Christian perspective, very, very clearly. And I was a little afraid, you know, that it would be too Christian. I had had experiences at University of Manitoba with my religion professor, of all things, who told me I should be writing for some little organization like Back to the Bible, and he did not say it in a kind, complimentary way.
Yeah.
So I didn't know where to go. And I know, and then there are still people in Canada who are there. They want to write, but they don't really know what to do. And the Word Guild has become a meeting place for a lot of those people, and a way for them to also expand and learn the skills that they need to know, because it's not, you know, obvious necessarily what you need to do.
Well, and looking at that, I mean, there's been a number of things that the Word Guild has done over the years. What are some of the changes that have taken place? I mean, from just starting out and doing the conference and starting to connect with each other through email and that, what are some of the things that have changed in the Word Guild to try and help foster that sense of community amongst writers who are Christian?
Well, I'll be honest. I think you said in the beginning that I'd been at the helm for 11 years. I haven't been. I was at the helm for until 2008, and since then I've been really, really trying hard to get myself out of it. And I have been directing Write Canada for the last few years. But well, I directed the whole time, but I was still that director. But without me being involved in them, a lot of things have been happening. Some of the things I was involved in, some of them I wasn't. But the awards, we created a huge awards program, which now called the Word Awards, and I think there are something like 38 awards. We have a $5,000 prize for the book that ends up winning sort of a best in show, which is the Grace Irwin Award, which this year went to a novel from Saskatchewan and a very shocked writer.
Mm-hmm.
There have been events all across Canada. We call them Write with an exclamation mark events all across Canada. Conference is now called Write Canada, and many regional events. My husband is actually on the board, and he and some others are working on getting webinars started so that you'll be able to learn no matter where you live. And they've already done a few online kind of meeting kind of things with mystery writers and romance writers and so forth, reading and discussing. So there are a lot of things happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at that, you said you've been pulling back for, you know, the last few years, but you've actually made the decision, the announcement was made recently that you're stepping away from everything in relationship to the Word Guild. You need to focus on your own work and that. What led to that decision? What sort of got you to the point where you said, I just have to make a break and I need to be completely separated from what the Word Guild's doing?
Well, when we started it back in June of 2001, I actually moved into a new house at the end of that month with my entire family, including my oldest son, his wife, and two kids. And there were a lot of things going on in my family. I had lost my mother the year before. I had just had 5 books come out, 2 novels for teens, actually 3 novels for teens, and my first mystery, and a discipleship manual for teens, and I was trying to do some promotion in them. And basically what happened was my writing career kind of ended. We were also planning on starting a church plant. That's why we had moved. So my plans for everything just kind of went south, and the Word Guild became the total focus. And I kept trying to write over the years, and I did a little bit of writing here and then, but it ended up more as press releases and content for the website and blogs and so forth. And my own writing just went out the window. And I said, God, this isn't fair. And he said, don't worry about it. So I didn't worry about it. But it kept bugging me all the time, especially the mystery writing. That's what I really wanted to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year and a half ago, he said, okay, it's time. You have to write a memoir. And I was like, I can't. I'm still in here. And it was like, I've got to get out. So last year what I did was, instead of just happily going on as director of Write Canada and I, you know, talking to them and giving my ideas and things like that for other things, I just said, okay, a year from now I'm gone. We need people to replace me. And I kind of put together a team of volunteers and got them involved and just tried to pass things on as much as I possibly could and shut my eyes and said, okay, if it doesn't work, not my problem.
Right.
And it's worked, I think. You know, the bottom line is the Word Guild did not ever belong to me or to Wendy or to any of us who are involved. It's God's. It was him who told me to do it, and he told me to. It was time for me to leave, and so now I'm working on the memoir that I believe I'm supposed to write, and I'm also working on a mystery. I'm trying to do them both at the same time, which is really weird.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but we need to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation with author N.J. Lindquist. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Till the coast is clear. rather keep water from a well so deep. You need a hand to pull you out. I guess that's what it's all about.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to I Am from the Jody King CD, Little Smile. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with N.J. Lindquist. You mentioned just before I went to break, you're working on a memoir, you're working on a novel. How are you doing that? I mean, how are you able to switch from memoir mode to novel, mystery novel mode in possibly even the same day?
Yes, the same day. This is all new to me, and honestly, I have never been a full-time writer in my life. My writing has always been done when I had a few minutes. I homeschooled my kids for 17 years. I was very active in church and volunteer stuff, so this is totally new. What I'm doing at the moment, I'm following a lady named Barbara Sher, who talks about people who are scanners, i.e. people who can do a lot of different things and have a lot of interest, and I totally fit. What I'm doing right now is, in the mornings, I have to spend 2 to 2.5 hours working on my memoir, which is like nonfiction. It's true stuff, so it doesn't involve me necessarily creating things. My memoir is going to be called Love Child, Life Lessons from an Ugly Duckling. And right now I'm working on the part between the age of 4 and 8 when I lived in Crystal City, Manitoba. And then in the afternoon, I am working on my other thing, which is Hot Apple Cider. I'm also the editor of Hot Apple Cider and A Second Cup of Hot Apple Cider. And we're considering doing a third book. And right now I'm creating ebooks from the first two books, which will be available very, very soon. And that came out of the Word Guild and out of my desire to kind of showcase the voices of Canadian writers who are Christian. So we have two books with a total of 60 different Canadian writers in those. So I'm getting those ebooks ready, but that uses a different part of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the evening or in the late afternoon, if I don't have a lot to do, then I'm working maybe 3-4 hours on my mystery. And I signed up for NaNoWriMo, which is basically write a novel in a month, and that sort of spurred me on. I don't know that I'm going to get to the 50,000 words that their goal is, but at least I'm getting something done. So.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Sounds like you've got quite a bit going. Just quickly, we've got about a minute left. Is there anything you're going to miss about the Word Guild, and not being involved in that leadership element?
I'm still a member. So I am still involved in that sense. And my husband is still very involved as a board member of the Treasurer.
Yep.
So it's not going to go away, but I feel so relieved to have said, I'm gone. I feel free for the first time in 11 years. I don't have that, you must do this, you must do this,
mm-hmm.
hanging over me. So.
And now you've left that with others.
Yeah, I've left it with God.
Great. Well, NJ, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, NJ Lindquist. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter @selaw13, S-E-L-A-W 13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.